Chapter 11. Retrograde. This chapter discusses the retrograde and its general considerations. It then discusses the three variations of the retrograde: delay, withdrawal, and retirement. General considerations for the retrograde. A retrograde is organized movement away from the enemy. It may be forced by enemy actions, or it may be made voluntarily. In either case, the higher echelon commander of the force must approve the retrograde prior to execution. The three variations of the retrograde are delay, withdrawal, and retirement. Units may execute retrogrades to transition to other operations, gain time without becoming decisively engaged, resist, exhaust, and damage an enemy force in situations that do not favor a defense, draw enemy forces into an unfavorable situation or extend the enemy's locks, preserve the force or avoid combat under undesirable conditions, such as continuing an operation that no longer promises success, reposition forces to conform to movements of other friendly troops, position the force for use elsewhere in other missions, simplify sustainment of the force by shortening locks, position the force where it can safely conduct reconstitution, adjust the defensive scheme to secure terrain more favorable to the defense, deceive enemy forces. Leaders ensure soldiers remain disciplined and aggressive during retrograde operations to preserve unit morale. Additionally, units can counter any negative effects on morale by planning and efficiently executing the retrograde and ensuring soldiers understand their task, purpose, and the duration of the operation. Retrogrades can negatively affect soldiers' morale more than any other type of operation because they may view a retrograde as a defeat. After completing a retrograde operation, commanders may reconstitute their forces. Military police conduct security and mobility support to preserve the retrograde forces' freedom of movement. They augment supporting military forces by establishing traffic control posts and enabling route and convoy security. Military police also provide support through the execution of detainee operations. The extended frontages and ranges common to retrograde operations make the provision of fire support difficult and limit the ability to mass fires. Therefore, retrograde forces, especially delay forces, often have more fire support assets. Commanders' risk of losing supporting artillery systems and their ammunition stocks increases when conducting retrograde operations. Therefore, they balance their decision to commit fire support systems forward against anticipated requirements in subsequent battle stages. In particular, units take steps to protect their artillery systems against the direct fires of mobile enemy elements. Units can use available rotary and fixed-wing aircraft to augment or replace artillery systems. During a retrograde, sustainment units echelon their movements to maintain adequate support to the committed force. They maintain maximum dispersion consistent with control and local security. They aim to provide uninterrupted support and maximum protection during the time it takes to conduct the retrograde operation. By echeloning support, units reduce the time each sustainment unit spends moving, preventing it from performing its primary support tasks. High-priority assets may require added protection to prevent their loss or capture. To reduce congestion and interference with the operations of combat, functional and multifunctional support units and supporting sustainment assets displace as early as possible, normally during periods of limited visibility. The early displacement of sustainment units can also prevent revealing friendly future operations to the enemy force. A retrograde movement is any movement to the rear or away from the enemy. Such movements may be classified as a withdrawal, retirement, or delaying action. Retrograde operations generally require more Class 3 and possibly more Class 5 supplies than during the conduct of other defensive operations. These supplies must be available for emergency issue. These two factors combine to increase the demand for transportation assets and maneuver space on MSRs. This, in turn, increases the need for movement management and pre-positioned services and supplies. Sustainment units carry and cache necessary fuel and ammunition stocks as required by the specific situation. The sustainment provided must be mobile to cope with demands of the tactical situation that typically occur during a retrograde operation. units prevent unnecessary supplies from accumulating in areas projected for abandonment. Only essential medical and logistics support should be located in the area involved in the retrograde operation. Commanders establish maintenance, recovery, evacuation priorities, and destruction criteria for inoperable equipment. Maintenance requirements generally overwhelm the organic capabilities of forward units during a retrograde operation. Higher headquarters place as much maintenance, recovery, and evacuation assets forward as possible to augment or relieve combat elements of the burden of repairing unserviceable equipment. Recovery and evacuation vehicles position themselves at critical locations to keep disabled vehicles from blocking movement routes. Forward units evacuate systems that they cannot repair within established timelines. They use all available means to accomplish this, including equipment transporters and armored vehicles with inoperative weapon systems. Units destroy inoperable equipment to prevent its capture when recovery and evacuation are impossible. When possible, units destroy the same vital components in each type of system to prevent the enemy from rapidly exploiting captured friendly systems through battlefield cannibalization. Commanders assign transportation priorities for the movement of combat troops and their supplies, the movement of obstacle materials to impede enemy forces, and the evacuation of casualties and repairable equipment. Units keep MSRs open and decontaminated as necessary. They also increase the amount of transportation assets available to assist in the retrograde. Generally, units use alternate supply routes rather than just a few main supply routes. Some routes remain open for traffic moving to the front, while the bulk of functional and multifunctional support and sustainment units displace farther rearward. Commanders designate and reserve routes for civilian traffic, including dislocating civilians. Commanders avoid designating routes that cross or otherwise interfere with the unit's MSRs as much as possible. The senior military person present determines when to request medical evacuation and assigns precedence of evacuation. The advice of the senior medical person at the scene, the patient's condition, and the tactical situation all influence this decision. Assignment of medical evacuation precedence is necessary. The precedence provides the supporting medical unit and controlling headquarters with information used in determining priorities for committing their evacuation assets. For this reason, correct assignment of precedence cannot be overemphasized. Overclassification remains a continuing challenge. Medical assets evacuate patients as quickly as possible, consistent with available resources and pending missions. Medical elements supporting the retrograding force provide rapid evacuation of casualties to medical facilities. Medical evacuation requirements are especially demanding in the large, assigned areas common to the retrograde. Units may augment the ground ambulance capabilities of supporting forward medical units. Variations of retrograde. Variations of retrograde have unique conditions and their own planning considerations. The three variations of retrograde are delay, withdraw, retirement. Delay. A delay is when a force under pressure trades space for time by slowing down the enemy's momentum and inflicting maximum damage on enemy forces without becoming decisively engaged, ADP 3-90. A delay is one of the most demanding of all ground combat operations. A delay wears down enemy forces so that friendly forces can regain the initiative through offensive action, buys time to establish an effective defense, or determines enemy intentions as part of a security operation. Normally, in a delay, inflicting casualties on enemy forces is secondary to gaining time. For example, a flank security force conducts a delay operation to provide time for the protected force to establish a viable defense along its threatened flank. A force conducting a delay normally avoids a decisive engagement except when preventing enemy penetration of a phase line for a specific duration. A delay operation can occur when units do not have enough forces to attack or defend. It may also occur, based on a unit's mission, in conjunction with a higher echelon commander's intent. Commanders may base their decision to conduct a delay not on the unit's combat power, but on other mission variables. For example, during security operations, units may conduct a delay as a supporting effort to draw enemy forces into an area where they are vulnerable to a friendly counterattack. Another example is a delay instituted as an economy of force effort to allow units to conduct offensive actions elsewhere. The ability of a force to trade maneuver space for time requires depth within the delaying force's assigned area. The amount of depth required depends on several factors, including the amount of time to be gained, relative combat power of friendly and enemy forces, relative mobility of the forces, nature of the terrain, ability to shape the assigned area with obstacles and fires, degree of acceptable risk. Ordinarily, the greater the depth, the lower the risk involved to the delaying force and the greater the chance for success. A delay succeeds by causing enemy forces to fight through a series of defensive positions. A delaying force must offer a continued threat of serious opposition, causing enemy forces to repeatedly deploy and maneuver. Delaying forces displace to subsequent positions before enemy forces are able to concentrate sufficient resources to decisively engage and defeat delaying forces in their current position. The length of time a force can remain in a position without facing the danger of decisive engagement is primarily a function of relative combat power and the mission variables, such as terrain and weather. Commanders normally assign subordinate units contiguous assigned areas deeper than they are wide. They use obstacles, implement fires, and move throughout the depth of each assigned area. If units plan the delay to last a short time or the assigned area's depth is limited, the delaying unit may need to delay from a single set of positions. If units expect the delay to last for a longer period, or if sufficient depth is available, the delaying unit may delay using either an alternating or subsequent bounding technique to execute the delay. In both techniques, delaying forces normally reconnoiter their next positions before occupying them and, if possible, post guides at their next position. Additionally, in executing both techniques, it is critical that the delaying force maintains contact with enemy forces between delay positions. Units normally prefer to bound from alternating positions when adequate forces are available and the assigned area has sufficient depth. In a delay using alternating bounds, two or more units in a single assigned area occupy delaying positions in depth. As the first unit engages enemy forces, the second unit occupies the next position in depth and prepares to assume responsibility for the operation. The first force disengages and passes around or through the second force. It then moves to the next position and prepares to re-engage enemy forces while the second force engages enemy forces. Units normally use alternate positions when their delaying forces operate on narrow fronts. A delay using alternating bounds is particularly useful on the most dangerous avenues of approach because it offers greater security than a delay using subsequent bounds. However, it requires more forces and continuous maneuver coordination. Additionally, delaying forces risk losing contact with enemy forces between their delay positions. Units delaying using subsequent positions when the assigned area is so wide that available forces cannot occupy more than a single tier of positions. In a delay using subsequent bounds, all delaying units are committed to each of the series of BPs or across the assigned area on the same PL. Most of the delaying force is located well forward. The mission dictates the delay from one BP or PL to the next. Units stagger the movement of delaying elements so that elements are not moving at the same time. Organization of forces. Units normally organize the delaying force into a main body, a security force, and a reserve. The security force usually conducts a screen forward of the initial delay positions. The main body, which contains the majority of the delaying force's combat power, uses alternating or subsequent bounds to conduct the delay. Commanders usually deploy their main bodies as complete units into forward positions when conducting a delay from subsequent positions. They divide the main body into two parts, roughly equal in combat power, to occupy each set of positions when conducting a delay using alternating bounds. Commanders retain a reserve to contain enemy penetrations between positions, to reinforce fires into engagement areas, or to help a unit disengage from enemy forces. All these missions require a reserve with enough combat power and mobility to attack the enemy, ensuring its reaction to the attack. Functional and multifunctional support and sustainment assets are widely dispersed and often attached to the units they support because of the width of the assigned areas normally assigned in a delay. Engineer priorities are normally countermobility first, then mobility. However, restrictive terrain that impedes friendly movement may require units to reverse priorities. Close coordination is necessary so engineer obstacles are covered by fire and do not impede planned withdrawal routes of delaying forces or the commitment of a counterattacking reserve force. The delaying force should have a greater allocation of fire support systems, including service and joint aviation, to enable the delay force to break contact if necessary. The requirement to maintain continuous support during the delay requires sustainment organizations to echelon their assets throughout the area. This echeloning, coupled with the wide dispersion of combat forces inherent in a delay, complicates the execution of the delay. Delay control measures. The delay consists of a series of independent small unit actions that occur simultaneously across the front. Subordinate units need freedom of action. Commanders designate contact points in front of, between, and behind units to assist coordination, ensure continuity of the delay, and draw attention to enemy avenues of approach into unit flanks. Commanders assign each likely enemy avenue of approach to only one subordinate unit when designating subordinate units' assigned areas. When commanders assign subordinates their assigned areas, terrain that controls fire and observation into those areas is included. Units designate additional PLs beyond those established by the higher echelon as necessary to control the unit's movement during the delay. A delay line is a phase line over which an enemy is not allowed to cross before a specific date and time or enemy condition. The delay line is depicted as part of the graphic control measure. Designating delay lines is a command decision that imposes a high degree of risk on the delaying unit. The delaying unit does everything in its power, including becoming decisively engaged, to prevent enemy forces from crossing that line before the time indicated. A delay line may also be event-driven. For example, commanders can order delaying units to prevent penetration of the delay line until supporting engineers complete construction of rearward obstacle belts. Planning a delay. Units must understand and exercise the basic defensive tactics outlined in Chapter 8 to conduct a successful delay. However, these defensive basics for a delay have unique considerations, and the significance of these considerations varies based on the mission variables. In a delay, units operate on extended frontages at great risk from advancing enemy forces. The tactical situation constantly changes, and the opportunities for maneuver are few. Subordinate units must have the flexibility to take immediate actions to retain the integrity of their forces. This helps retain their freedom of maneuver and inflict maximum destruction on enemy forces. Commanders and their staffs identify ground and air avenues for enemy attacks and friendly counterattacks. When avenues of approach diverge or pass from one assigned area to another, adjacent units coordinate with each other. Using the results of IPB, units designate initial and subsequent delay positions on key terrain that covers likely enemy avenues of approach throughout the depth of the assigned area allocated to the delay mission. Commanders of delaying forces must maintain a mobility advantage over their attackers. They maintain this advantage by fully using the mobility inherent in their available combat and tactical systems. Engineering and fire support enablers are critical to this effort. Units take additional steps to enhance friendly mobility and degrade enemy mobility, such as building combat trails between delaying positions and preparing bridges over major rivers for demolition. The delaying force should be capable of constructing large numbers of obstacles and delivering long-range fires. For example, while the enemy force travels in movement formations that allow it to press its attack, the delaying force aims to engage the enemy force as early and often as possible. This forces the enemy out of their preferred formations and into a series of time-consuming deployments into assault formations. Air defense of a delaying force has three main considerations: the protection of the force while it is in position, the protection of any forces left in contact, and the protection of the force as it moves to the rear. priority should be toward maintaining the mobility of the force. Air defense assets remain mobile yet able to engage aerial targets with little advance warning. These assets should work in teams and be able to move to the rear in alternating bounds. This ensures that dedicated air defense assets are in position and that they have the flexibility needed to keep pace with operations. Air defense firing points are not obvious positions that an enemy force would target as part of preparation or supporting fires. The Brigade Air Defense and Airspace Management Element provide early warning of enemy air attack over combat net radios using the command net at brigade echelons and below. Flanks and gaps between units are always areas of concern. In a linear deployment, attacking enemy forces can bypass or outflank the delaying force if coordination between adjacent friendly units is weak or if one unit creates a gap by moving rearward too rapidly. Therefore, units designate BPs to guard approaches into the assigned area. Adjacent units of different commands exchange liaisons to ensure coordination. Displacement criteria should specify at what point, either event or time-driven, the delaying force should begin its displacement. Units calculate enemy closure rates for the terrain and compare them to friendly displacement rates between positions. Units can calculate movement times by comparing time and distance factors. Units determine required obstacle effects and emplacement locations by applying the enemy force's probable closure rates and formations to available mobility corridors. This also helps them determine if and where delay forces will be required to or likely to be decisively engaged to achieve their delay objective. Careful consideration of the mission variables, especially terrain analysis, is an inherent part of delay planning. Characteristics of the delay. Commanders must clearly describe three certain characteristics to their subordinate conducting a delay mission. First, they direct one of two methods: delay within the assigned area or delay forward of a specified line or terrain feature for a specified time. Commanders usually base that time on another unit completing its activities, such as establishing rearward defensive positions. A mission of delay in the assigned area implies that force integrity is a prime consideration. In this case, the delaying force delays enemy forces as long as possible while avoiding decisive engagement. Generally, this force displaces upon meeting predetermined criteria, such as when an enemy force reaches a disengagement line. The control measures are the same for both alternatives, except that during a delay forward of a specified line for a specified time, commanders annotate the PL with the specified time. If commanders establish delay lines, mission accomplishment outweighs preservation of the force's integrity. It may require that delaying force hold a given position until ordered to displace. The second characteristic is that the commander must specify the acceptable level of risk for the security force to take. Acceptable risk ranges from accepting decisive engagement in an attempt to hold terrain for a given time to maintaining the integrity of the delaying force. The depth of the assigned area available for the delay, the time needed by the higher echelon headquarters, and the delaying force's subsequent missions determine the amount of acceptable risk. The third characteristic is that the commander must specify whether the delaying force may use the entire assigned area or must delay from specific BPs. A delay using the entire assigned area is preferable, but a delay from specific positions may be required to coordinate two or more units in the delay. To enhance command and control and to coordinate the battle across a broad front, commanders can assign specific BPs down to platoon level. Commanders may direct units to delay within their assigned area if that best supports the scheme of maneuver. Command and control in a delay. Communications are essential to the success of this variation of a retrograde, and commanders build redundancy into the communications architecture. Digital and analog systems help ensure redundancy by providing a COP. This allows one command post to temporarily assume the duties of another command post if it is destroyed, displaced, or has suffered an enemy cyberspace or electromagnetic attack. While planning a delay, the main command post is normally the first command post to displace, leaving the tactical command post to control the delay until the reestablishment of the main command post in a secure location. The main command post may displace by echelon, leaving a residual command and control capability in the original location. Intelligence in a delay. When conducting a delay operation, commanders may not get the most effective use of supporting intelligence assets. They echelon organic and supporting information collection systems rearward to maintain partial coverage of the assigned area during the delay. This increases the importance of effective collection management. However, commanders must rely on the dissemination of intelligence from higher echelons and combat information, such as that from manned and unmanned aircraft systems, to make up for the degradation in collection when systems displace. Effects of terrain in a delay. Commanders take advantage of the terrain when planning how to position forces and conduct operations. They select terrain that favors friendly actions and hampers enemy actions. The terrain dictates where a delaying force can orient on a moving enemy force and ambush it. During a delay, restrictive terrain facilitates shorter displacements initiated at closer range to enemy forces. Commanders conducting operations in restrictive terrain select locations that restrict the enemy force's movement and prevent the enemy force from massing its combat power. On the other hand, flat or open terrain requires earlier displacements at greater distances to stay in front of the advancing enemy force. In open terrain, the most important consideration in selecting a position is a good long-range field of fire. In restricted terrain, positions tend to be closer together. In open terrain, delay positions are often far apart. In selecting positions, commanders consider natural and man-made obstacles, particularly when the enemy force has numerous armored combat systems. Commanders identify routes that reinforcements, artillery units, command posts, and sustainment elements will use and keep under their control and free of obstacles. Alternate routes should be available so that a friendly force can bypass closed or contaminated choke points. Disengaging from an enemy force while displacing from one position to the next has challenges. The unit's disengagement plans include the maneuver concept of operations for tactical elements after disengagement, which includes the movement routes for each small unit, fires to suppress enemy forces and cover the unit's movement, electromagnetic warfare activities to disrupt enemy command and control at critical moments, obscurance to conceal the unit's movement, conduct a military deception operation, or cover passage points, contact points and passage points if moving through friendly lines, disengagement start times. The earliest time for functional and multifunctional support and sustainment elements to move. Designated units responsible for closing lanes through obstacles and executing reserved obstacles. Movement and maneuver in a delay. A delay is one of the most difficult tasks to execute. The primary reason is that the delaying force must engage attacking enemy forces to slow their movement, yet not become decisively engaged. In certain situations, commanders may direct a decisive engagement to prevent an enemy force from prematurely crossing a delay line or to risk a part of the force to avoid jeopardizing the entire delaying force. The delaying unit maintains continuous coordination with any flank units as it displaces rearward. Armored and striker-equipped forces, supported by lethal and non-lethal capabilities, are highly suitable for delay operations in most terrain. Their organic firepower allows them to engage enemy forces effectively at long ranges, and their mobility allows them to move quickly between subsequent positions or to a flank. These same characteristics also allow these forces as a reserve to launch rapid counterattacks to extract delaying forces from untenable situations. Dismounted infantry forces are especially suited to conduct delays in restricted and severely restricted terrain. They take advantage of such terrain, reinforced by the use of obstacles, to hinder the mobility of enemy combat systems and their supporting tactical vehicles. Dismounted infantry forces can also participate in stay-behind operations. This type of terrain offers cover for the movement of friendly infantry forces and favors using ambushes against enemy forces. Because of the restrictions on organic motorized transportation assets, and the limited protection available to infantry units, commanders specifically plan for their displacement. Commanders may employ air assault forces in a manner similar to that of other dismounted infantry units in a delay. However, air assault forces possess additional useful capabilities in a delay operation. Because of their habitual relationship with helicopter units, they can rapidly deploy, redeploy, and disperse in open terrain if the weather is suitable and the necessary landing and pickup zones exist. The combination of dismounted infantry, attack and assault helicopters, and fire support systems found in air assault units allows delaying commanders to concentrate combat power rapidly at key locations to attrit enemy forces through repeated ambushes. The combined arms nature of air assault units also makes them extremely useful for conducting security and reserve operations over large geographical areas against mechanized and dismounted enemy forces. However, their extraction is a high-risk activity when pressured by an armored enemy force or in the presence of a significant air defense threat. The mobility, lethality, and long range of rotary wing and fixed wing aviation make these assets invaluable to a force conducting a delay. Commanders can also use air assault forces to conduct counterattacks and spoiling attacks as part of a combined arms force. Other uses of rotary wing assets in a delay include the rapid rearward movement of sustainment assets, the deployment of infantry, and the deployment of reconnaissance forces. During a delay, countermobility is the most important engineer planning consideration. However, if the delaying force must cross one or more major obstacles, the major engineer planning consideration is mobility. Commanders set realistic and specific priorities for the engineer effort. They monitor its progress to prevent it from dissipating countermobility efforts throughout the area. Commanders employ engineers in depth. This is crucial when commanders conduct non-contiguous operations or when enemy forces attack deep into the support area of a force conducting contiguous operations, or when enemy forces have the ability to employ weapons of mass destruction. The maneuver element provides security for the engineers so that they can concentrate their efforts on engineer tasks. Because of the importance of mobility and countermobility tasks, a unit conducting a delay probably has few engineer assets to devote to survivability tasks. Units should maximize the use of obscurance to provide concealment for movement and assembly when weather conditions are favorable. Smoke curtains, blankets, and haze may protect withdrawing columns, critical points, and routes. Commanders take precautions to ensure that the smoke does not provide a screen for the enemy's advance. See ATP 3-11.50 for more information on battlefield obscuration. Preparing for a delay. The defensive preparations outlined in Chapter 8 apply when conducting a delay. Resources, including time available, determine the extent of preparations. Commander's top priority is reconnaissance. Additionally, the preparation of subsequent positions receives a higher priority than it does in either a mobile or an area defense. It is not always possible to complete all preparations before starting delay operations. Consequently, delaying units continue to prepare and adapt plans as a situation develops. In the delay, commanders use BPs in a manner similar to the mobile defense. However, commanders place more emphasis on width than depth. Within each BP, most of the available firepower is oriented toward the expected enemy avenue of approach. Commanders must provide adequate flank and rear security, since the delaying unit must furnish its own security. Each crew and squad learns the routes, from its primary positions to alternate, supplementary, and sequential positions. Furthermore, commanders conduct reconnaissance of subsequent BPs and prepare routes for displacing. In preparing a BP, commanders conducting a delay place less emphasis on installing protective obstacles, establishing final protective lines, and stockpiling ammunition in either an area or a mobile defense. Leaders sometimes refer to BPs as delay positions during the conduct of a delay. Commanders deploy their security force well forward of the initial delay positions to give early warning of any enemy forces approaching. When the security force detects and reports enemy forces approaching, commanders reconcile these reports against decision support matrices and event templates to support their decisions and identify enemy COAs. Based on an analysis of ongoing events and a prediction of how the battle will unfold, commanders can direct one subordinate element to maneuver in a manner designed to draw the advancing enemy force into a position of disadvantage. Executing a delay. The complexity of a delay requires the subordinate elements of a force to execute different yet complementary actions. In a delay, attacks, area defenses, mobile defenses, and other actions may occur in any sequence or simultaneously. For example, commanders may elect to assign one force the task of securing a key road intersection for a set amount of time, while another force can attack the enemy flank. Therefore, the enemy force must deploy into a hasty defense, which delays any further enemy attacks. Intelligence preparation of the battlefield defines enemy COAs. Initially, intelligence assets attempt to determine if enemy forces recognize the delay. Subsequently, they focus on how enemy forces react to the delay. Information collection assets monitor enemy attempts to envelop the flanks or strike the rear of the rearward moving friendly force. They also focus on actions of any enemy airborne, air assault, and attack aviation units that may try to interdict the movement of the friendly force. Commanders conducting delays attempt to detect the enemy force's advance early to adjust the scheme of maneuver and concentrate sufficient combat power to delay the enemy force effectively. The security force fixes, defeats, and destroys the enemy force's reconnaissance and security elements without risk of becoming decisively engaged. It directs fires at the approaching enemy force as far forward of the delay positions as possible. Engaging a moving enemy force at long ranges inflicts more casualties on an attacking enemy force before it can engage the delaying force. It also slows the enemy force's tempo of operations. The more a delaying force can eliminate an enemy force's reconnaissance assets, the more likely the enemy force will move with caution. Once the security force makes contact with the enemy force, it maintains contact. As an enemy force approaches, it moves by bounds back to the flanks of the defending units, keeping the enemy force under constant observation. This prevents the enemy force from finding gaps between delaying units and attacking the exposed flanks of delaying units. The security force uses covered, concealed, and coordinated routes to avoid enemy and friendly fires. Recovering security assets may be more difficult if the security force needs to pass through the range of the delaying force. Recovery should be to the flanks of delay positions and not through friendly engagement areas or TRPs unless a tactical situation makes such movement necessary. Security forces move so that they do not reveal the locations of other friendly elements. The main body uses various techniques to execute the delay. These include ambushes, counterattacks, spoiling attacks, artillery raids, electromagnetic warfare, and close air support. Commanders of delaying forces preserve the force's freedom to maneuver by engaging enemy forces with sufficient force to stop their advance temporarily. The delaying forces use obstacles and defensive positions in depth to slow and canalize enemy forces and exploit the mobility of their combat systems to confuse and defeat them. Once a delay starts, units displace rapidly between positions. Whenever possible, commanders grasp any opportunity to seize the initiative, even if only temporarily. Delaying forces may conduct counterattacks from unexpected directions to confuse enemy commanders. In a delay, commanders use lethal and non-lethal capabilities to delay enemy forces, inflict casualties, and assist the friendly force in gaining a mobility advantage over enemy forces. Lethal and non-lethal effects continue throughout the delay. These assets can disrupt the enemy's follow-on forces and restrict the immediate battle to the enemy's committed forces. Fixed and rotary wing assets can engage enemy forces before they come in range of other supporting lethal and non-lethal assets. Effects generated by lethal and non-lethal assets support direct fire engagements to prevent an enemy force from conducting an attack on the delay position. Lethal and non-lethal assets separate enemy formations by attacking an enemy force when it concentrates near choke points and in engagement areas. Integrating fires and obstacles makes it difficult for an enemy force to maneuver through engagement areas. The delaying force disrupts an enemy's momentum by forcing deployment and by inflicting casualties. Lethal and non-lethal capabilities assist delaying forces by assisting in disengaging maneuver forces, suppressing enemy forces, degrading an enemy force's ability to move and communicate, obscuring an enemy force's overwatching support by fire positions and degrading enemy intelligence and target acquisition systems, reinforcing or closing breaches or lanes in obstacles, executing FPFs, screening friendly displacements and disengagements by using obscurance. This also degrades an enemy force's terminal guidance of precision-guided munitions, destroying high-payoff targets, supporting limited counterattacks. As an advancing enemy force approaches the delay position, they cross one or more trigger lines and move into engagement areas within the range of the delaying force's anti-armor missiles, tank cannons, and small arms. Commanders hold their delaying force's direct fire until enemy forces are positioned where their fire plans and schemes of maneuver require their use. They control fires of the delaying forces in the same manner as in any defense. The more damage a delaying force can inflict on enemy forces, the longer it can stay in position. As an enemy force attacks and maneuvers against a delaying force, delaying commanders continuously assess the situation to guide the displacements of the delay force to avoid becoming decisively engaged. Units use lethal and non-lethal capabilities from multiple domains to engage enemy forces while the delaying force disengages and withdraws from delay positions. Integrated fires and FPFs directed at and in front of enemy positions allow a delaying force to disengage. Division and brigade commanders collaboratively plan and facilitate decentralized execution of a delay to battalion and lower echelons. Senior commanders rely on their subordinates to accomplish the mission and request help when needed. Commanders establish the acceptable risk and displacement criteria. Subordinates displace once they meet the previously established delay criteria. A displacement may be a pre-planned event or time-dependent. The senior commander monitors the delay and intervenes when the displacement of one unit threatens the survival of another. The delaying force relies heavily on lethal and non-lethal effects to suppress and disrupt enemy forces so the delaying force can disengage, move, and occupy new positions. If a subordinate element cannot maintain separation from enemy forces, commanders can shift additional combat enablers and other resources to that particular assigned area to counter the enemy force's success. As one subordinate element displaces, delaying commanders order other subordinate elements to change their orientation to cover the move. Each displacing element travels along its designated route, using demolitions as required and requesting additional fire support if the enemy force continues to maintain contact. Passing through obstacle lanes during displacement between positions poses significant risks to the delaying force. The unit passing through a linear obstacle may become more vulnerable to an enemy force's attack because of the danger of the delaying force bunching up on the far side of an obstacle. Obstacle lanes also increase the time required for a passing unit to transit through an area. Commanders prevent an enemy force from engaging passing units until they can redeploy into a tactical formation. Reserves and air assets should not be committed early in the delay unless its integrity is threatened. Typically, commanders commit their reserves to help a unit disengage and regain its ability to maneuver or to prevent an enemy force from exploiting an advantage. Commanders' early commitment of their initial reserves reduces their ability to influence the battle unless they can reconstitute new reserves. Commanders that can extract, redesignate, or otherwise reconstitute their reserves can quickly commit their reserves several times through the delay. In the delay, commanders balance the location of their force's sustainment elements with capability to provide adequate support and protection from enemy indirect fire. Artillery ammunition stocks must be capable of sustaining the quantity of fire support required in the delay. Maintenance operations in a delay focus on evacuating rather than returning disabled or damaged vehicles to combat. Units evacuate these vehicles from the security area unless they can quickly repair them. Units destroy inoperative vehicles that they cannot evacuate to prevent their capture. Terminating the delay. A delay operation terminates when the delaying force conducts a rearward passage of lines through a defending force, the delaying force reaches defensible terrain and transitions to the defense, the advancing enemy force reaches a culminating point, or the delaying force transitions to the offense. If the advancing enemy force reaches a culmination point, The delaying force maintains contact in current positions, withdraws to perform another mission, or transitions to the offense. In all cases, the senior commander must plan for the expected outcome of the delay. If commanders expect a friendly counterattack, they plan for the forward passage of the counterattack force, conserve resources to ensure combat superiority, and hand over appropriate assigned areas. Withdraw. A withdraw is to disengage from an enemy force and move in a direction away from the enemy, ADP 3-90. Commanders may or may not conduct a withdrawal under enemy pressure. Subordinate units may withdraw without the entire force withdrawing. A unit conducts a withdrawal for the reasons listed at the beginning of this chapter. In addition, a withdrawal may precede a retirement operation. Although commanders avoid withdrawing from action under enemy pressure, this is not always possible. They may conduct a withdrawal when the situation requires rapid action to save the command from disaster. This usually occurs after a tactical reverse or after a unit reaches its culminating point. When an aggressive enemy force becomes aware of a friendly force's withdrawal or its intention to withdraw, the attacking enemy commander attempts to exploit the withdrawal, using all available capabilities to turn the friendly force's withdrawal into a rout. The attacking enemy force may have ground and air superiority and continuously attempt to pursue, encircle, and destroy the withdrawing force. The attacking enemy commander may use a combination of direct pressure and enveloping forces and fires to isolate the withdrawing friendly force. Withdrawals are inherently dangerous because they involve moving units to the rear and away from an enemy force. The heavier the fighting and the closer the contact with an enemy force, the more difficult the withdrawal. OPSEC is extremely important. A unit usually confines its rearward movement to times and conditions when an advancing enemy force cannot observe the movement, so that the enemy force cannot easily detect the operation. To retain the element of surprise and freedom of action, commanders consider the enemy's abilities to observe friendly movements. OPSEC is critical during the initial stages of a withdrawal when most of the functional and multifunctional support and sustainment elements displace. Units withdraw to assembly areas or new defensive positions. Alternatively, they can withdraw indirectly to either area through one or more intermediate positions. When preparing new positions, commanders balance the need for security with the need to establish the defense. Organization of forces for a withdrawal. Commanders organize a withdrawing unit into a security force, a main body, and a reserve. They also organize a detachment left in contact and stay behind forces if the scheme of maneuver requires them. Commanders avoid changing task organization unless subordinates have sufficient planning time. However, circumstances may dictate rapid task organization changes immediately before a withdrawal, such as when the unit must conduct an immediate withdrawal to prevent encirclement. The security force maintains contact with the enemy force until ordered to disengage or until another force takes over. It simulates the continued presence of the main body, which requires additional allocation of combat multipliers beyond those normally allocated to a force of its size. The greater its mobility and range advantages over the enemy force, then the easier for the security force to cover the main body's withdrawal. Commanders organize most available combat power to their security forces as a rear guard or a rear covering force, since the most probable threat to a withdrawing force is a pursuing enemy. However, security forces must maintain all-around security of the withdrawing force. When an enemy force can infiltrate or insert forces ahead of the withdrawing force, commanders may establish an advance guard to clear the route or assigned areas. They designate a flank guard or screen as the situation requires. When a security zone exists between the two main opposing forces, the existing security force can transition on order to a rear guard or rear covering force. It then conducts delay operations until commanders order it to disengage and break contact with the enemy force. When the withdrawing force is in close contact with the enemy force, a security zone does not normally exist. Withdrawals under these conditions require that security forces adopt different techniques. For example, the detachment left in contact establishes a way to break contact sequentially with the enemy force. The main body of the withdrawing force consists of all elements remaining after the senior commander resources a security force and reserve. Commanders in a withdrawal generally find it difficult to resource a reserve, but they make every attempt to do so. When the complete formation withdraws under pressure, the reserve may take limited offensive action, such as spoiling attacks, to disorganize, disrupt, and delay the enemy force. It can counter penetrations between positions, reinforce threatened areas, protect withdrawal routes, and free encircled or heavily engaged forces. Withdrawal control measures. Withdrawing forces protect themselves while simultaneously moving combat power away from enemy forces. This requires careful coordination among all forces. Throughout an operation, commanders strictly control rearward movement and maintain the ability to concentrate combat power at key times and places. Withdrawal control measures also include the routes used by each unit in the withdrawal and their movement times. Planning a withdrawal. Commanders plan and coordinate a withdrawal in the same manner as a delay, although some mission variables apply differently between a delay and a withdrawal. A withdrawal always begins under the threat of enemy interference. Because the force is most vulnerable if the enemy force attacks, commanders always plan for a withdrawal under pressure. They then develop contingencies for a withdrawal without pressure. In both cases, their main considerations are to plan a deliberate break from the enemy force, displace the main body rapidly free of enemy interference, safeguard the withdrawal routes, retain sufficient maneuver and functional and multifunctional support and sustainment capabilities throughout the operation to support forces in contact with the enemy force. A withdrawal may be assisted or unassisted. It may or may not take place under enemy pressure. Commanders prefer to conduct a withdrawal while not under pressure and without assistance. An assisting unit requires commanders to add additional coordination and prompt unit actions. In a withdrawal under enemy pressure, all units withdraw simultaneously when available routes allow, using the tactics of a delay to fight their way to the rear. When the simultaneous withdrawal of all forces is not practical, commanders decide the order of withdrawal. Several factors influence their decision, including subsequent missions, availability of transportation assets and routes, disposition of friendly and enemy forces, level and nature of enemy pressure, degree of urgency associated with the withdrawal. Commanders must make three interrelated key decisions: when to start the movement of selected functional and multifunctional support and sustainment elements, when to start displacing forward elements, and when to start the security forces' disengagement operations. Commanders avoid premature actions that indicate a withdrawal to enemy forces. They anticipate enemy means of interference and plan for employing security forces, lethal and non-lethal capabilities, and air assets. Commanders conducting a withdrawal without enemy pressure can plan when to begin the withdrawal. They have the option of taking risks to increase the displacement capabilities of the withdrawing force. For example, commanders may order their main bodies to conduct tactical road marches instead of moving in tactical formations. They can plan for stay-behind forces as part of their operations. A withdrawing force can receive assistance from another force in the form of additional security for the area through which the withdrawing force will pass, information concerning withdrawal routes, forces to secure choke points or key terrain along withdrawal routes, elements to assist in movement control, such as military police to conduct traffic control points, required maneuver and functional and multifunctional support and sustainment, which can involve conducting a counterattack to assist the withdrawing unit in disengaging from enemy forces. Preparing for a withdrawal. Before withdrawing, the main body dispatches quartering parties to help it occupy the new position. In an unassisted withdrawal, the withdrawing unit establishes its own security force and reserve. It reconnoiters and secures the routes it uses for its rearward movement while sustaining itself during the withdrawal. The withdrawing unit must disengage from enemy forces. Concealing supplies along movement routes can simplify support requirements and reduce the enemy force's ability to interfere with logistics operations. This allows sustainment units to withdraw earlier than they otherwise could. Commanders carefully consider whether to place supplies in caches. Once cached, supplies are difficult to recover if an operation does not go as planned. Other than medical items, a withdrawing unit evacuates or destroys all supplies that it cannot evacuate to prevent their capture. Commanders establish destruction criteria for each class of supply by both time and event. Executing a withdrawal. Typically, when under enemy pressure, the force facing the least amount of contact withdraws first. The more heavily engaged forces generally withdraw supported by indirect fires and a security force, if available. Withdrawing forces take advantage of obstacles to assist in breaking contact with the enemy force. They conduct night movements and use obscuration to screen friendly movement, reducing the accuracy of enemy direct and indirect fires and enemy observations of friendly movements. The security force continues to use alternate and subsequent positions until the entire friendly force breaks contact with the enemy force. The security force may remain in position as part of tactical deception. The main body moves rearward to intermediate or final positions as rapidly as possible. After the main body withdraws to a safe distance, the security force begins its rearward movement. Once the security force begins moving, it assumes the duties of a rearguard. Even if the enemy force does not pursue the withdrawing force, the security force continues to act as the rearguard unless commanders assign that mission to another element. However, if not pursued by the enemy force, the security force may remain in a march column. The main body moves rapidly on multiple routes to reconnoitered positions. It may occupy a series of intermediate positions before completing the withdrawal. Usually, functional and multifunctional support units and their convoy escorts move first and precede combat units in the withdrawal. Commanders ensure the disciplined use of routes during a withdrawal despite confusion and enemy pressure. When the main body withdraws, its reserve remains well forward to assist the security force and other units by employing supporting direct and indirect fires and counterattacks. The reserve can launch spoiling attacks to disorganize and delay the enemy force and extricate encircled or heavily engaged forces. If the security force and the reserve cannot prevent the enemy force from closing on the main body, commanders commit some or all of the main body to prevent the enemy force from further interfering with the withdrawal. If the security force fails to slow the enemy force, the main body delays or defends. In this event, the withdrawal resumes at the earliest possible time. If the enemy force blocks movement to the rear, commanders can direct their units to alternate routes to bypass the enemy force. Alternatively, the withdrawing force can attack through the enemy force. Terminating a withdrawal. Once the withdrawing force successfully disengages from the enemy force, it has two options. It can rejoin the overall defense under conditions that are more favorable, or it can transition into a retirement and continue to move away from the enemy force and toward its next mission. Retirement. A retirement is when a force out of contact moves away from the enemy, ADP 3-90. A retiring unit organizes for combat, but it does not anticipate interference from enemy ground forces. Retirement operations are usually conducted to reposition forces for future operations or to accommodate the current concept of operations. Typically, another unit's security force covers the movement of one formation as the unit conducts a retirement. However, enemy mobile forces, unconventional forces, airstrikes, air assault operations, or long-range fires may attempt to interdict the retiring unit. Commanders plan for enemy actions and organize their forces to fight in self-defense. When a withdrawal from action precedes a retirement, the actual retirement begins after the unit breaks contact and organizes into its march formation organization. While a force withdrawing without enemy pressure can also use march columns, the difference between the two situations is the probability of enemy interference. Units conduct retirements as tactical road marches where security and speed are the most important considerations. Each retiring unit generally moves toward an assembly area, which should support the preparations for the unit's next mission. Commanders consider unit capabilities to support defensive actions if combat occurs during the retirement when determining routes to assembly areas. The initial action in a retirement is to move sustainment units and supplies to the rear. At the designated time, the retiring unit executes a withdrawal from action and forms into a march formation. The unit can first move into an assembly area, if this step is necessary, before moving into a march formation to reestablish command and control or resupply. Once it forms a march formation, the force is prepared to initiate the retirement. During the initial phase, the force retires in multiple small columns. As the distance from the enemy force increases, smaller columns can consolidate into larger ones for ease of movement control. The number of routes and the potential for enemy contact influence how and when this occurs. Organization of forces for a retirement. Commanders normally designate security elements and a main body in a retirement. The formations employed during a retirement depend on the number of available routes and the potential for enemy interference. Commanders typically move major elements to the rear simultaneously. However, limited roles or a flank threat may require echeloning of the movement in terms of time and ground locations. The terrain and the enemy threat dictate whether a retiring force establishes a single rear security force, which is usually a rear guard, or whether each column forms a separate rear security force. These security forces protect the rearward moving columns from surprise, harassment, and attack by any pursuing enemy force. Their size and composition depend on the strength and imminence of the enemy threat. These security elements generally remain in march columns unless potential exists for enemy interference. If an enemy force establishes contact, the rear security element conducts a delay. The retiring march columns normally require an advance guard augmented by engineers focused on mobility. Commanders focus their engineers supporting their rear guards on counter mobility. They assign flank security elements to prevent potential enemy interference with their retiring forces' extended columns. Commanders may designate flank security responsibilities to subordinate march units. The main body organizes in a manner opposite that of an approach march. The movement of functional and multifunctional support and sustainment units ideally precedes the movement of combat forces. When necessary, elements of the main body can reinforce the rear guard or any other security element. Because fire support elements and attack aviation elements of the main body can respond rapidly, they are usually the first elements tasked for this mission. Retirement control measures. The control measures used in a retirement are the same as those in a delay and a withdrawal. As in a withdrawal, thorough planning and strict adherence to routes and movement times facilitate an orderly retirement. Typically, commanders control movement using movement times, routes, and checkpoints.